Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, June 16th, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hand. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. We do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. Just a reminder that we have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this call. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments because it helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call and people listening to the recording afterwards. We do have public comment section during this meeting. Just want to remind any members of the public, if you would like to make comments, either send me a chat message if you can, or raise your virtual hands when we begin the section so that we can take the speakers in the order received. Just want to remind that we have 2 minutes for each speaker so that we can have all the members of the public so time for their comments. Vice Chair Tawan, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take the roll call if you concur.
Excellent. Proceed.
Thank you. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share it on my screen. And once it's on my screen, if somebody can confirm for me, I will appreciate that. Please let me know.
I have notification that it is being displayed.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It is. So just like I said, after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the AAC roll call. Afterwards, we will have review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We will take the commendations, customer service, and any outreach reports. Mr. Blake, Vice President of Access Services, will provide us with updates about Metro Access Services. I believe we also have representatives from KTS Transportation today. Mr. Blake afterwards will also give us an update about Metro Accessibility's rides, followed by Metro Access eligibility process, which is scheduled around 5:10 p.m. At 5:35, we intend to begin the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen, and when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
I'm here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia is out sick today. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here.
I believe Rico is connected with us on this meeting.
I'm here.
Dan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you, Rico and Mr. Farmer. Debbie Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Here.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Here.
Thank you. Thomas Van Grim. Philippa Mazzell. Swatha Nanda Kumar.
Sandy Mazzell is here.
I'm sorry, who's this?
That was Sandy. Sandy.
Sandy? Okay, thank you, Sandy.
Yes, this is Sandy. I'm here.
Thank you, Sandy. Phil Posner? Sarah Rod?
I'm here.
Thank you. Doris Ray? Denise Rush? Paul Summerford has informed that he might be a little late this morning, this afternoon. Patrick Sheehan?
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simono and Philip Weintraub. I just want to state for the record that following members may not be able to join the meetings for a while. That includes Thomas Mangrum, Doris Ray, and Denise Rush. Okay, with that, we conclude the roster for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. At this point, Mr. Farmer, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Anu, for opening the meeting. And I'm probably going to reach out to you as I don't have the agenda directly in front of me here. So first to everyone. No, I know you sent it out. So it's not you, it's me. Everyone, again, thank you for attending today's meeting. We like to keep people informed. And as you can see, this is a jam-packed meeting, as always, as Paul and our team like to make it. So I will be representing until Paul arrives. So we're going to start with a review of the, we have the minutes, the and the agenda. So let's get approval of the minutes. Are there any, those who've reviewed, any corrections, modifications on last month's minutes? Hearing none. I will take that as a motion to approve the minutes. And we will move on to the agenda. As if everyone has reviewed the agenda, are there any corrections or additions that need to be made to the agenda? Also hearing none, that's wonderful. I think we can move directly into our first part. That is outreach and we'll go from there first. And that's Ms. Anderson, correct?
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Farmer.
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm with the Metro Access team. I am an African-American, middle-aged female with a two-strand twist as my hairstyle pulled back and wearing a black Metro Access Rodeo shirt today. It is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Wanda Muhammad with our past team to give the public comment resolution report from our last session. Ms. Muhammad?
Yes, thank you, Allison. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wanda Muhammad, and I am a middle-aged Black female wearing a black jumpsuit today with the cream and black scarf tied around my neck. My hair is pulled back in a ponytail, and I am wearing black glasses. There were no outstanding public comments to be addressed from either the AAC meeting on May 5th or the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on May 19th, 2025. Now, moving to commendations, in May 2025, there were 389 commendations. Among the recipients, TransDev OCC received 151, Hubbard Road received 78, Central Avenue received 48, Challenger received 42, Abilities Ride received a total of 51, Industrial Road received 18, and Eligibility receiving 1. And this concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Muhammad. With outreach from our last session, I will divert to Mr. Blake for that report out. Mr. Blake?
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake, young black male with a white button-down shirt and black glasses. I did not go out to any particular public speaking engagement or outreach, but I do know that we supported several events over the past month and a half with road supervisor support for a number of events, but there was no specific outreach efforts this past month.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Blake, and that concludes our report out.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Mr. Blake, what do we have next, Anu?
Okay, Mr. Farmer, so next topic is Metro Access service updates, and I believe Mr. Blake
Yes, Mr. Blake as
is
well.
going to provide that.
Okay.
Mr. Blake, you're back up
Yes.
again.
Yes, I see. Okay, so thank you again. Service updates in terms of things we're doing heading into the next fiscal year. We have been working very closely with the service provider, WeDriveU. Well, actually, both of them, but particularly WeDriveU. And we're working with them directly. Their management team from a national level has been engaged in the day-to-day operations as well. In May, we saw some fruits of that labor, if you will. Our OTP went just approximately 90%. You'll see that on the Metro website for the data that's managed by Jordan Holt and her team. They also improved in other areas, so we're going to continue to work with them. There may be some adjustments over the next several months that you will be informed of if there are any. But right now, we're working with them to improve their overall performance. And again, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if you had heard anything, or there were no major changes occurring other than working with them to improve the service that you experience. But just always want to get ahead of any rumor mill discussion. But again, May wasn't our, in the past type of month, but it was an improvement, and it got back to the number of 90% that we're always striving to be at or above. And so we're going to continue to work and make these improvements, and we'll be, advising you of any adjustments or changes to the service we make. I will say again in May, I'll just say one of the things, 27% of trips were shared rides. That's extremely low, but that's a very customer-friendly effort that we're doing on the scheduling side as we continue to work to improve the on-time performance when we actually have to share rides. So again, less than 30% shared rides. Unless you're in a town with a couple of stoplights and 10 stop signs, you're not going to find that anywhere else. That's an extremely customer-friendly gesture we're doing on the scheduling side to mitigate challenges and experiences our customers face as we continue to work to improve the system and get it back to the way things used to be. So that's my update. I can take any questions or comments at this time.
Impressive, Mr. Blake. You've had everyone speechless. Thank you,
Well,
sir.
one or the other.
And for those who are here, both from the AAC as well as public comment, opportunity will definitely present itself again to make commentary. So thank you very much, Mr. Blake. Anu, what's our next item on the agenda?
Mr. Farmer, so next item on the agenda is KTS. Why are
Well,
they?
may I ask to make, I know we're not in the Senate, but can I ask to make an amendment? Because KTS is really a topic that's near and dear to the chairman's heart. And we want to give him a chance to be here when they make that presentation. So would it be possible, and I don't know if she's on the call because she brought it up, and I know this issue is important to the chairman as well, but can we talk about the Metro Access eligibility topic if Ms. Samuel and others, and I know Mr. Sheehan, the chairman of the committee, is very interested in this topic. So we can brief Paul on it once he gets here or after this meeting, but can we talk about that so that we can save KTS for when Mr. Semaphore does join the meeting?
I definitely can make an adjustment and push that back for a moment. Let's see if we can stay in proper order, though. So just before we move, oh, wait a second. You've wound him up.
Oh, he heard me calling his name.
He's
Okay,
loading up into the system,
there
so we can stay on track.
all right, Tuan, I'm
Okay,
here.
excellent, sir. And you have in turn by your prompt to arrival have kept the meeting on track. So we are moving into the topic of KTS.
Oh, yes.
You see, he sounds excited.
Totally
Okay,
not. With
so
love. I always
hey,
lead with love as a
they.
teacher.
There you go, sir. There you go. So that's where we're going to go right now. Our lead on that is.
Well, I can begin, but I would like to invite the representatives of KTS to show themselves on the camera if possible and introduce themselves and talk about their company. And I'll just lead it in while they're coming on board.
Wonderful.
KTS is one of our now 13 companies that are participating in the Abilities Ride program. They provide wheelchair accessible vehicle service in what we call Zone 4 or Southern Prince George's County. That's areas like Upper Marlboro, Fort Washington, Oxon Hill, Temple Hills, Capitol Heights, and am I leaving out one?
All right,
Suitland.
still. So I think you're
Suitland.
based at. Yeah.
Suitland. Yeah, that's that. So those areas is where KTS is providing service and receiving trips 10 miles or less in the Zone 4 Southern Prince George's County area. And are they on there? I can't see on my screen.
Yes, I'm on. This is
Oh, there we
Calvin.
go. Okay. So there we go, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith is, if I'm not mistaken, you're the CEO or the COO of.
Yes, sir. CEO for KTS Solutions.
Okay, well, there you go. So if you can go ahead, you heard my intro, and Paul is one of your regular customers. I hope you made him happy today because he wasn't happy on Friday, I guess. But listen,
They
we'll
were
talk about
wonderfully on time and on point.
that. Sounds like a setup. We had that set up for you today, I think. But
I know. We just
Mr.
want
Smith,
it consistently, and we will get
yes.
I
Yes,
understand.
sir.
So Mr.
Absolutely.
Smith, why don't you take I'll step back and why don't you talk about your company? And we need to be frank. I mean, so everything hasn't been, I don't know if this is being politically correct, being hunky dory or perfect. I mean, it hasn't been perfect, but let's be frank about what has taken place. But what are you here to serve? What are you seeing so far from your end as a service provider? And what are things you're doing to get us to that point of near or absolute perfection?
Yes, again, thank you for the introduction, Mr. Blake. Again, I'm Kelvin Smith, CEO for KTS Solutions. Just to give you a brief background on myself, I'm a retired Navy, 21 years, logistics and transportation. I've been in the transportation sector since approximately 2007. After retiring from the Navy, I worked 8 years in Defense Intelligence Agency over in DC and launched KTS around that time, after 8 years of that. Currently, we supported the Veterans Administration doing wheelchair accessible access for veterans throughout the country, East Coast, part West Coast, in the Mid-Atlantic area. For us in the DC metro area, again, we're very pleased and with the effort that we provide some of the services to metro access with our experience leverage from the Veterans Administration. As Mr. Blake said, we have had a few bumps in the road, but we've looked for ways to counter that to continue our march forward. And I always say the best way forward to get better is listening and communicating. So we want to make sure our best foot is forward in the communication sector. My other team member here, I have the manager, Miss Melissa Wills, and I let her introduce herself.
Hello, my name is Melissa Wills. I'm the operations manager at the Maryland office here at KTS. Can you all hear me? Can you all hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can. Go
Yes, we
ahead.
can.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yes. We are aware of that. We do have some bumps in the road, but we are trying to move forward with rectifying situations that we encounter. Our goal mainly is to provide safe, dependable, and high-quality services at all times. And we are committed to ensuring that the safety, the comfort, and the satisfaction of our clients. And what we're doing here is we're striving to ensure that our clients do arrive at their destinations on time. We do conduct regular wheelchair safety training for proper passenger securing. We ensure that our drivers are CPR certified. We require the drivers to dress professionally and always have respectful and positive interactions with our clients as well. We're performing routine vehicle inspections to ensure safety and sanitary conditions. And last but not least, we absolutely enforce a no strict tolerance policy for phone use while transporting our clients. As we come across these issues that we are having beyond that, we are doing everything in our power to correct these issues moving forward. We're doing the best we can. And I'm glad you all are partnering with us, and we address every concerns that comes across.
Oh, okay. That was your presentation. So I'm Paul Summer, I'm the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. Sorry, I'm late for the meeting. I will first start off. I do ride your service, being one who lives in Oxon Hill. Regularly, the trip is from home to work. And I will say that your drivers are very courteous and respectful. They're very professional. They do kind of pretty much the door-to-door service. I've seen them handle people in wheelchairs and securing them. And we love the fact that you are here mainly as a secondary service provider, alternative service provider, particularly for Prince George's County, where we have a large about one-third of the customers for that use Metro Access reside in Prince George's. So you're helping out transporting, people with disabilities, within the county, primarily to short destinations wherever they need to go. So we sincerely appreciate that. We want to use you, grow you. And those are the wonderful glows I've seen so far. The only bumps of the roads you talked about, major ones that I brought up in using the service, is when days that the trip is assigned and there's no communication from the driver or from KTS. And I had one day with three trips in a row where, they did not come at all. And when I reached out to the call center, the major issue was the contact number. They would transfer me to that number for KTS, and they would just for months go to the call would drop. We don't accept calls at any at this time. I know Mr. Blake, when I brought that up, has since then got that corrected. And also there was more communication coming from the drivers. Hey, I'm here, that type of thing. So we get some kind of messaging upon arrival when the drivers are there. So, we, are there on time. So that has happened going forward since I spoke to Mr. Blake about that about a month ago. Like I said, the one trip I had on Friday, it was a surprise to me because drivers usually come to my place, no problems. And y'all have, I think, a little device that gives you pickup drop off of every client, that type of thing, where he calls me and says, I think I'm lost to your place and I'm confused about that. Since y'all are very precise in getting to, based on the information. And then he texts me back, sorry, I went to the wrong location. I'm on my way, which created that delay. And then I had to, after my window, decide to use another Billy's Ride provider to complete my trip and told him, please don't come because I already got moved to another provider to take care of my trip needs. I hope that would not happen again, as y'all working through all these things.
Yes, we are perfectly aware of the situation, and I do apologize for the inconvenience that has caused you. The driver was experiencing delays due to our GPS in our system. When he went to put the address in our GPS that's embedded in our system, it directed him to the incorrect address. And we do try to make sure our drivers are in communication with the client to let them know. And the driver did explain to me that he was in communication with you, and you've even attempted him to give him directions, and it was he was still unable to locate the correct destination. So the driver then contacted our dispatchers for further assistance. And once he received the accurate directions, he's proceeded to come to the address. And he was like approximately 5 to 10 minutes away. And then I believe he said that you called to a Metro Access, and they then dispatched the Uber. And then we received over a cancellation. So yeah, that
But
was
he
a
was
mistake.
even with the text very polite. You know, I'm sorry for this, that, and the other. They are extremely polite. Like I said, there are a lot of beautiful, positive things. There's just these few bumps in the roads. Once y'all get that smoothed out, boom. I mean, they are very professional. I see them handle customers very professionally. They do that door to door. They ensure their safety. They, you know, dress appropriately and professionally. Those are big pluses. It's just that, you know, work out that communication piece. And we want you, we want to keep growing you, especially for Prince George's County.
Mr. Summerfall, let me chime in on that. And I did talk to Melissa, referenced that. And we instructed moving forward when there's a situation that occurs as such that our dispatchers use Google also to assist the drivers in reference to a geographical location. So we're not totally dependent on the meta routes that could draw a hiccup in the routing. But in essence, we'll make sure we have all hands on board to make sure we get the information across to the drivers to assist them from our locations where we at in the office process as well.
Committee members have questions for KTS, especially those who reside in, or committee members, that is.
Chair Summerford, this is Jennifer.
Yes.
I am not seeing any hands up.
Seeing that there are no hands up, and I do want to say we definitely love having you in Prince George's. Y'all are I love the vehicles where, you know, we still have a shared ride and y'all pair it very nicely with someone that's going in the same location. So, you know, we live in the same neighborhood, we're going to the same similar location, you know, people are able to get around and it makes it, you know, a very productive shared ride service. That's very, you know, short and sweet, but, you know, people are able to still share a ride and, you know, that type of thing. As Mr. Blake would say.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I hope this enthusiasm keeps up when you get one of those surveys you're going to get from Ms. Holt's team. So I really appreciate your feedback, Mr. Chairman. And yes, I would just say one of my goals in this, and one of Metro's goals in this whole program, I always ask you all, just trust me, let's build this up and do it hopefully a smart way. And what you're witnessing here with KTS and others in this program, these are local companies, small companies that, in their own way, can do just as much, if not more, than a lot of the big national names that we hear about, like Uber. And we love Uber. So, this is nothing against anybody. But the point is, what you're reflecting about the professionalism, the friendliness, this is truly premium service that we're trying to provide to you and all of our customers through the Abilities Ride program. This is, you know, we talk about Uber. This is the Uber Black type of service that you're getting. I mean, this is that type of limousine service, if you will. But I'm not saying that in a pejorative. I'm saying that because that's what we want to give you all, but in a very sustainable and affordable way. And the fact that this local company, small local company, is providing a level of service that minus the occasions, and I don't know. Anyway, I'll use the example. I love Southwest Airlines. I do. But even Southwest can upset me at times, no matter how nice the stewardess are and things that do happen. But I know it's my commitment to continue to be very forceful, for lack of a better word, in terms of encouraging the KTSs of the world and everybody else to strive for perfection and strive for that premium quality service that you all will love and continue to demand of us. And if we can get that, that'll be a win-win for both sides, the customers and the agency. So you continue to hold them accountable. You continue to send me your reports. I don't know if Denise DeBose is on there, but that's another name I'm sure is familiar to Mr. Smith and Ms. Willis. I mean, I'm not a blocker, if you will, from the customer. I'm giving them the exact words of the customers, because only with that type of honesty will they see where they need to improve to keep you all happy and keep the business coming to them. So I appreciate your feedback, but also appreciate your firm and unvarnished opinions when things aren't going right, so I can share it with them and they can make the necessary adjustments.
And they're better than Uber in the sense that they go beyond the curb and go and help the customer to the door, and they're trained to do that. And they also, unlike Uber does, but more so, they have the ability to at least have one person with a wheelchair in there, with a who's mobility impaired at all times.
And thanks. What we also just want to enlighten one thing. I talked to one of my drivers, and there was a communication, and he said he was waiting for the client to see if the client needed an assistance. I said, no, you don't have to wait. You ask, you go ahead and move in action to assist the client. You don't have to wait. That's what we're there for, door-to-door service. And so he understood that. So those are the things that we reinforce to the drivers, you know, in reference to care with the clients whenever we are doing a transport.
Chair Samuel Ford, this is Anu. Rico Dancy has a question.
Ahead, Rico.
Yes. Thank you. Is y'all trained how to deal with deaf customers? Because I have a few friends who live in Maryland, and they asked that question for today. Asked me a question about that. So I asked them, I want to find out.
In essence, to dealing with anyone with disabilities, we also try to make sure we have information in advance to ensure we know how to handle the client properly in reference to getting the correct communication across. We could set up another phone, in essence, to when they call in.
Relay service, called video relay service. Are y'all trained how to deal with deaf customers? Because when some customers use the relay service like I do, a lot of hearing people will hang up on us, and they think that is a click call, or I haven't seen it happen, okay? So that's why I asked that question.
Right. And I'm glad that's a great question. Yes. And we have used Relay with our prior clients. And this first time it come across, we have the capability to set that up with the Relay questions, interpretation, and go back and forth on the phone calls. That's no problem at all.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
If there are not any questions, we thank you for coming and presenting to us and answering our questions. And we definitely want to partner with you in making your business work for our wonderful clientele here of Metro Access customers, one of the best ability-wise customers, providers, especially for Prince George's County.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next, you're on, Mr. Blake, for Metro Access Service updates. As we get closer to the summer and these last two meetings, any summer surprises and things like that? And I'm sure you're going to be giving us other updates about the call center. Go right ahead.
No summer surprises. As I was mentioning, I was just really trying to address the rumor mill that, hey, we're working very closely with the primary service provider at this time, where they've brought a lot of corporate resources in to work to improve performance. And as I think I shared with you and others, and some of the main numbers that are on the Metro website, you would see that we did get to approximately 90% for May. And I also talked about the fact that in the month of May, there were only 27% of trips that were shared rides. And again, I don't want to always repeat myself, but you're not going to find that anywhere in the country, not on a service this size. That's just we're trying to make it sustainable, but that is a customer-friendly feature you're not going to find anywhere in this country unless, as I said earlier, you're in a town with two stoplights and 10 stop signs, because it's just not feasible. But because we've been able to partner with companies like KTS and others and spread the work around, we're able to also try to make Metro Access not only just paratransit service, but also kind of premium light, if you will, although we still have a ways to go to get back to where we were going. One thing I did leave off the Metro Access update, and it's not a surprise coming from Metro, but we're still working with the Federal Transit Administration and their rules and guidance when it comes to agencies like ours partnering with third-party providers. I mean, we've really taken it to a level nobody else in the country is doing. I'm not talking just in terms of sheer number, because as you being from New York, Mr. Chairman, you know they do a far more trips than we do. But when it comes to the percentage of trips, I mean, nearly 60% of people who call into Metro Access are able to get their trips on an alternative service that's largely premium and always free, although that won't be free forever. I've been saying that for 6 years now, just as a warning, and one day it won't be free. But we've given you absolute premium service, but the FTA, they're looking at programs like this kind of with a side eye, and we're waiting for July to tell us for them to provide us some additional guidance. And the biggest change, if there has to be any change for the customer side, there's going to be some changes for the providers, I believe. We're going to be reaching out to them and talking to them. Hopefully, the biggest change for the customer will simply be when you book your trip right now, you know your ass. Would you like your trip on Uber if possible? And you say yes or no. One thing that could change is we may have to say Uber, this cab company, that cab company. You know, we may have to ask a few more names in order to be
I'm on a
totally
meeting.
compliant.
You ain't call me
Sorry.
though.
But somebody needs to go on mute, please. But the point is, I'll just close on this and say, hopefully that will be the extent of the customer experience, is that you may hear a few more names in order for us to be in compliance with a rule or two that may be adjusted. But hopefully nothing will change at all. But we will certainly let you know over the summer as we prepare to respond to the FTA. But in terms of Metro, myself, we have no surprises this year. We want to get back. Our only surprise is to get back to the level of service on the Metro Access that you all have been used to the previous 5 years. Now, I think everybody's on mute. I know if we...
Sarah, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I wanted to ask what, oh,
Okay,
make comments
sure. Go
before I
ahead.
let the first person go.
Sure. Please, please.
So was the fact that make an Uber request, my assumption is that when they it's random, whenever available, it goes to a lottery process, that it can be any abilities by provider. So what I'm hearing is you're the customer who may ask for abilities ride may be asked to, just for the record, ask about different, do you prefer taxi or do you prefer Uber? Do you prefer some other alternative provider depending on the trip pickup and drop off address?
That is correct. And with dealing with so many providers, and we're dealing with such a vast region, and different providers are covering small sections, as I said, we're dealing with 12 different companies. It may become a little complicated at the beginning, although we're going to try to make it as simple as possible on the customer side. But we have to see about the guidance and see what plan we can develop that will keep the customer facing aspect as simple as possible, while perhaps making a few adjustments on the provider side. However, you're right. Instead of one company, you may have to hear the name of two or three during the reservation process.
All right. So the next thing I want to delve in before people's hands, because it tail doves to the call center staff. I was surprised. Do you have any updates with that? So one thing I've noticed when I call in and speak to Where's My Ride agents is, I guess Grover, who's probably on this call, will speak to it. I guess a lot of training has been going in, and it's very positive. I said they're very professional. They either are following some kind of script or they've had some very good professional training. You know, my name is such and such, and how can I help you? I see you have these trips, blah, 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 blah for today. It's like most of them are able to, in a very, you know, professional, in some cases pleasant way, there's still some work to be done, are able to handle a request before it will have to go to, certain things have to go to a supervisor, yes, for certain circumstances, but for the most part they are able to take on and handle a myriad of issues from the customer. They're typical.
And I'm not sure if Grover's on. I know they're striving to make some improvements. They still have a very long way to go as far as the standards we want. We're on our end, i.e. oversight, we're still encouraging customers to try TIM for some of their bookings, not all. And we're making a lot of progress, a lot of progress. We're almost there. Where it will be, if a customer calls in, Where's My Ride, and checking on the status of their trip, and that trip is later projected to be late, there will be no need to ever transfer again under those circumstances. Now, there are other scenarios where customers ask for Uber trips, and those still require certain treatment because we have to enforce certain rules. But if you're just calling, Where's My Ride, status of the trip, and that trip is later projected to be late, no more transfers to a supervisor will be necessary. The agent will be able to put in a couple of information, check a screen for a couple of background checks, if you will, make sure a customer meets the level of independence that is required. They say, yes, they would like an Uber. The computer will take care of it automatically.
Because what I've, like I said, have seen is, you know, like I said, it's getting a little bit better. But let me let other people go. I think I see Sarah followed by Vanessa. Is that correct in there?
And one of the part of the training that Ms. Williams Hall has been spearheading with the TransDev team has been to create a knowledge base that reduces the transfer calls as well. So she's helping them. She's showing the client, and excuse me, in this case, the contractor, how to build a knowledge base that then their staff can depend upon so that they don't have to keep sending, I got to send this to a supervisor. No, they already know the answer, and they can be polite and kind in addressing it.
I see Tim is working in the background there. I guess following what you hinted at with
Chair Simon Ford, we can hear you. Yep, we cannot hear you.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Oh, sorry. Well, yes. Like for instance, they're confirming this is your phone number that we see, that's primary. Oh no, okay, it's this, that type of thing. A lot less errors are occurring and things are happening. All right, Sarah, you go first, and then followed by Vanessa, then Debbie.
Okay, this is Sarah Rod, middle-aged female with blonde slash gray hair, currently wearing a rain jacket because I'm outside. Just a quick clarification for Mr. Blake. So I book most of my rides online, and if I do that, I do not have any option to indicate that I want an Uber or abilities ride. Now, I usually get abilities ride, But it's only when I call into the call center have I ever been asked if I wanted an Uber. Is there something going wrong there, or is that the way that the system is currently set up?
Okay, now that's news to me. So I'm glad you asked that question, Sarah. If
You don't
Ms.
get that option a lot.
Lipsall or Ms. Anderson can help me out on this one.
Just so I'm clear, Mr. Blake, can we just go over it one more time? I'm not sure I understood the distinction.
Also, this. The once Uber column, that's being asked and filled out by reservation agents when someone calls. But Ms. Sarah says when she books online, which we love customers to do, so we want to encourage that, she's saying that question and therefore that field is not being populated for people
No,
booking
there's not a field for that. I can tell you that now.
online. Yeah,
No,
it doesn't exist.
I'm sorry. This is Terry and Williams Hall. I'm director for Metro Access, African American lady. So you're absolutely right. The web request is not an exact replica of the experience over the phone. So that is one that we can take back to Trapeze and look to have that updated and included. So there was not a request before to add that, but we certainly can go back to our vendor to have that added to the web page.
Okay, we should do that. Yes, please.
Hello, this is Barbara Millville, ombudsperson for people with disabilities. There is a notes field if you're booking online, Sarah, and that's where you would put please send an Uber if possible.
No, that's helpful, Barbara, and I appreciate that. But no, what Ms. Sarah's talking about, see, when they ask them during the reservation call, there is a field that is filled out, and during the scheduling process, we actually could use that field to automate a transfer of trips to Uber. That would not occur just from the request in the comment field, although I agree with you, customers should indicate it in there as well, although that's kind of duplicative and to some extent. But what Ms. Sarah's talking about, and for her to take advantage of both the primary and the secondary lotteries, we need that field available for people booking online as well. And I hear from Ms. Williams Hall that she's going to follow up on that. And I know when she does, it usually gets done.
Okay, and next is Vanessa Coles, followed by
Alert.
Debbie.
Audio now unmuted.
Yes, hi, this is Vanessa. I'm middle-aged African American. My hair is feathered and I have on a t-shirt. So my question, Mr. Blake, is I've had a couple of new consumers. How do we get a list of the availability trips so that they know what their options are? Is there a way to send it to maybe ACC, AAC, or you said they're going to go over a few of them, but how do the new people know what their options
Caller,
are?
Hot Sheehan has.
And then my second question or statement is that lately when I get my Uber calls from the driver to let me know that they're there, I'm getting a message before they even connect that the call is being recorded and some more stuff. And I'm like, when did this happen? Some kind of recording that's coming on before it's connecting me to the driver to let me know that the call is being recorded or something of that nature.
Okay, I'll admit I'm one of those ones, even when I'm taking a mystery trip to see the experience of the customer. When that call comes, I usually don't answer it, and I think a lot of customers don't, but I'm glad you do. And what I will do one day this week, I'll take a mystery ride, I'll listen to the recording, hear what it's saying. I know a lot of places that you call, they say this call is being recorded for training purposes, and I will see if that's what this is all about, and I will also follow up with the company to find out why perhaps they are recording these arrival calls, and I'll report back once I get some more information.
Because eventually it connects me to the driver, but I'm like, hello, hello, hello. And I gotta wait for this message to finish up before I can speak to the driver. So yeah, that's just something that recently happened. I think last week I've been noticing. But
Okay,
it would be
I'll
nice if
follow up.
Okay, thank you. And it would be nice if I could let the consumers, these new ones, know what the availability options are.
Oh, yeah, that was the first question. During the enrollment process, the eligibility process, once they've been approved, the eligibility office is, let me just put it this way, supposed to be going over the Abilities Ride program as part of the enrollment and talking about the different providers. I will follow up with them on that, but there is also a website that lists all of our alternative providers, the type of service they provide, and the areas they provide. And so, if we can, and I can share it with you, but if we can begin to distribute the website, I think that will be helpful as well, so that people will not only know about the providers, but also understand how the program actually works.
Okay, and I still don't have my card yet.
You still didn't get your card now? Did AJ call you? Because he told me he called you.
They did. They
Okay.
did. I just still don't
Okay.
have it.
All
So
right.
I'm
We'll
getting
get.
another extension.
Well, you got to get an extension, but we're gonna get you the card. I'm gonna just put a card in the mail. Not in the mail. I'm gonna send a courier one day this week. Okay. For
That's fine.
sure. For
Thank
sure.
you. Thank you.
All
Debbie,
right.
you're up
I'll
next.
take
Hi. I'm not on camera, so I'm not gonna describe
Wow.
myself. My question is whether or not, and it sort of pertains to the update and to Abilities Ride, with the new bus routes, fixed routes starting next week, will any of the availability for these routes change?
No, ma'am. Great question. And the answer is no at this time. Again, one of the things that make us the most friendliest paratransit service in the country, and I say that without any blush or it's a fact. That part is just a fact. But one of the things that make us that is that we have a service area that is fixed for now, way beyond the fixed ride equivalent ADA limit or minimum, if you will. And that's not going to be under review again until I want to say the middle of this year for potential adjustments in July of 2026, if there are any adjustments. So back to your question, there are going to be adjustments because of the better bus network redesign, but the Metro Access service area will remain the same, except for any areas, and it's only a very small number of areas far out on the edges of parts of the service area where the service area is expanding. But there's a lot of areas where the service area has, in fact, shrunk a little, but Metro Access will not change during this time, during this initial time period.
So you mean places like out in Poolesville could expand or not so?
Some could expand, yes, some very, very small. I have to get the exact, but it's almost negligible in terms of Metro Access demand in those areas. But
Right.
yeah, there are few small pockets where there currently isn't Metro Access service, where theoretically Metro Access service will go if requested. But there are more areas where the Metro Access service, if we were like other paratransit providers, would have changed or would be changing with the better bus network change, but we're not at this time.
Okay. So the other part of that, therefore, is that the local jurisdictions have certainly not stepped up to provide an alternative.
They've done some work in terms of stepping up and replacing work where Metro will no
Right.
longer be doing work. So in that regard, they have stepped up
But not
in terms of stepping up
paratransit.
to expand the service area. Only again in some small pockets is that occurring.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Terms of committee members, you're speaking to this topic.
Chair Salmon Ford, this is Anna. We do not have any additional hands up for this. this topic.
Great. Mr. Blake, before we close this topic, just one quick question. What I've noticed about Uber, maybe something worth investigating, or maybe bringing back the Uber person next month. I forgot his name. But what I've noticed with Uber texts, like for trips, usually it's consolidated in one text because, you know, you get transactional text when you start a, you know, a ride, when you click on the link and you get updates about it. What I've noticed over the past couple of days, it comes, that information that will come in one text, which would be manageable, now comes in two or three texts. I'm finding another driver. It's a separate text, meaning coming under another, you know, number, that type of thing. And that kind of makes it, and what it's doing is you get a lot more text than needed. I mean, I understand the transactional text, but I'd rather if it come like it did before as one single, under one single strand where it continues versus two or three different texts. And then I have to sift and find, you know, previous trips that day. And I think sometimes I've seen the case where someone like me may have three or four, some of them get pushed out. Okay. So it's like, so I have to call staff to, you know, start the trip or resend me the link.
Okay. So I'm,
does that make sense?
I'm hearing, no, I'm hearing what you're saying. I think that might be a little harder for me to replicate in a mystery ride. I'll try it, but here's what I would ask you. Have you kept any of those texts that you're speaking of?
Oh yeah, I never delete any of my texts on my phone. Okay.
So if you can forward me some examples, I think that'd be a lot easier to get them working on to get a response than me going out and trying to see if I'm getting the same experience that you are. I think that would be really helpful if you could just forward me a few of those and I'll send it right to them, explain as you have what the inconvenience.
Because the transactional text, that's fine with the updates, but let it come as a one strand under one text number, wherever that's coming from, versus two, three, or four for the same thing, which I think for a customer may become more difficult to kind of manage and sift through. And then when I try to look for the text from the trips from the night before for the next day, I think they're getting pushed out, if that makes sense.
I'm checking now, but we'll follow up and see why that's happening. But the examples will be helpful.
All right. And also the last thing is, I know Uber, like, it's been great. You've been sending the text for those who are selected in the lottery the night before, and so they have it that evening. When y'all send the reminders on that next day of service, it usually comes out in the reminder comes out, I guess, at a certain time, like in the afternoon. If it can be done, like possibly, and it does it again before, I guess, 11:59. Is it possible for the trips that the texts are sent the night before, if that push out of the reminder could come the next day, like maybe that early morning before that first trip, so people don't kind of have to sift through like the reminders it gives, you have trips for this day. It's it doesn't push out into that afternoon, then later that evening before 11:59, but it doesn't push out that morning. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, and I'll ask them now. You know, they're a very large company. There's probably been a lot of research that's gone into why they do it a certain way. But then again, they're a large company. There may have been no research. So let's see what they say as to the timing of their reminder text messages to customers. I know some of it absolutely is to, and if they see somebody with one or two, even just one trip left.
Oh, but I'm one of the different situations. We're going to say that.
A reminder. But in terms of the timing, let's find out.
Behind me.
As we're speaking at a meeting here, thank you.
Yeah, I found
through. All right, so now we're going to move to the next topic about eligibility. I know there was a member of the public that brought to the AAC meeting earlier this month the issue where the governor has put into law because people with disabilities have been asking, I have a person with this, you know, a permanent disability. Why do I have to recertify? And that, I think, mainly came from where the MTA in Maryland were, what I've heard from other people is they're making people permanently disabled recertify every single year instead of what the rule was every 3 years with them. They make them keep coming up. And people are probably at, and people have asked with paratransit, why can't we do the same thing? So now, I guess, between you and eligibility, y'all can start that conversation.
Well, so this was brought to our attention. Very appreciative of Ms. Samuel, Janice Samuel, bringing this to our attention. I did take a look at the legislation that was being referenced. And yes, that reference is in that program, and that law applies to MTA's version of our reduced fare program for people with disabilities, which provides discounted fare on our bus and rail. And it does so over there as well for their bus, rail, and light rail services. It does not, in fact, in the what they call the fiscal note, which is a key aspect of the Annapolis legislative process, it explicitly makes clear this is not referencing the paratransit service, which is MTA Mobility, which is separate and distinct. So the idea of us, so bringing it back home to Metro, there is a recertification process for our reduced fare program as well. I don't want to just make a pronouncement and speak on behalf of the authority, but if the AAC wishes to make a recommendation that Metro, if you will, follows that law and, you know, and makes that adjustment for people under the reduced fare program, I think it will be received in a positive way. I'm not going to say, again, guarantee anything at this moment under this meeting, but I wouldn't discourage anyone from making that recommendation. However, I do think it's fair. We've got to be clear that we're talking about reduced fare program for fixed route service, not paratransit eligibility.
Did you probably want to explain why this is, does not refer to paratransit? Well, I'm going to let y'all explain why this doesn't refer to paratransit, because, you know, people have come, you know, saying, I have a permanent disability, why do I have to recertify?
Well, I'm speaking for me as a person who's worked at multiple agencies, including both that are being referenced here. The reason why, as an advocate for people with disabilities, I don't believe that there's a permanent eligibility is because when you're working at an agency like WMATA, and the overall spirit of the ADA is that these agencies are to continue, and Metro's done more than anybody else, that's for sure, continue to invest in the accessibility of their fixed route services, because paratransit is to be a complementary service. It shouldn't be a service people with disabilities are relegated to. The goal, the ultimate goal, is to have everybody with or without disabilities riding that beautiful rail system that's ever expanding, ever growing, and is far more flexible than the paratransit service. So I think just in the spirit of the ADA, in recognition, and secondly, in recognition of the tremendous investments that this authority has made and continues to make, and being the home of the late Richard Hettinger, the spirit is to get people onto that fixed route, that accessible fixed route service, not necessarily relegate them spiritually, mentally, in any way to just being wedded to paratransit service. Oh,
you got,
your mic is down.
Chairman
Ford, we cannot hear you.
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, questions from committee members.
Now
Sarah?
You can, yes.
Sarah, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sarah, it took me a second to get off of mute. So I'm still a little bit confused. Like, I don't feel that I'm relegated to using Metro Access. And I do have a permanent disability. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. And it just seems like a waste of resources on Metro side. I mean, it's sort of a win-win to not bother having making people go through recertification processes. So I don't see how it blocks anybody into doing something. I think it just saves everybody some time in the end. And I realize that the law itself was aimed at one particular group of people, but just in general, like, well, what? Why don't we do this? Why don't we certify people if they wish to?
And I respect your perspective. I mean, I do, and that's where. And I've never stopped advocacy, and I've always said that to the committee members from the time I arrived here. But we do have a just a slightly different perspective on it, in that the eligibility process, not in your case, but the eligibility process and the notion of a permanent eligibility for a paratransit service may, and again, maybe not in your case, may discourage the exploration and the use of the ever increasingly accessible fixed route services. And also, not necessarily here, but other places, and maybe one day here, the eligibility process also is used for the notion of conditional eligibility. We don't do it here. Yes, there's a card we call conditional, but I'm even trying to move the team away from that. But theoretically, when you come in for a certification, you have a permanent disability, but we are aware of environmental changes and infrastructure changes to the fixed route service, where some of your trips may, if the agency makes that decision and makes that choice, could be conditioned, and therefore you would not be eligible for certain trips on paratransit. We're not there yet. We're probably, it'll be a while before this agency ever gets to that point, but that is also a part of a paratransit eligibility process. I know places like Seattle, Washington, again, they're way away from the FTA and other things, but it is my understanding a place like Seattle does engage in a conditional eligibility process, where some trips that are requested on paratransit are denied based on the customer's disability and the environment and fixed route accessibility.
That's absolutely fascinating. I didn't know that. And I didn't even realize that there was such a thing as the conditional eligibility, or that that's what I had until I went through some of the training for this committee, which is great. But I mean, to me, the big incentive is it's free for me to ride bus and rail. So if I can, and it, as you said, it's more flexible. So if it's a ride that I can make on those because I have someone to go with me, or I've gotten enough O&M training that I feel safe doing it, then I do so. I don't need to, I don't know. It just, again, to me, the whole certification thing is more of a, this is a time issue. It's, you know, it's a resource issue for both sides. Anyway, that's all. I just don't really understand the purpose and why we're doing it, unless you're like trying to weed out people that are suddenly going to recover.
You're on it. You're a poster child for us. It's not so much recover, but it's more about technology changes, investment in infrastructure, and the application of rules that are allowed by the ADA, but again, rules that we have not decided at this stage to implement. Others find feasibility by potentially restricting some trips of a customer. We've chosen to try to find feasibility by first encouraging customers to utilize alternatives before we go to a more restrictive approach, if you will.
Okay, thank you, Sarah and Mr. Blake. Tawan, I see your hand is up. Go ahead, please.
It is. Thank you. So I will be tongue in cheek first to say, I wish that blindness were conditional. Unfortunately, it is not. It is a circumstance by which I live every day. And I've heard of, obviously, I've heard the term conditional service. But in contrast to that, I've also heard the term administrative, your application. Like, so in a case of renewal, I have had what is called an administrative renewal where I literally just handed the paperwork over and it got processed through. It did not take the extra legwork that sometimes, not to say it's the heaviest lift, it can be for some more than others. But for whatever reason, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of taking the approach that because one agency is specific, we can. I believe Metro WMATA can be the innovator, the first of its kind, as we have in other areas, to make that change and say, this is doable. Two things have happened, and I'm going to finish with this. Two things have happened, and I don't know if it's just Maryland and their way about things and their approach. In the district, when I lived in the city, I had, what do you call it? The disability placard. And it had the same restrictions that are set by your place of residence. I know people living in Maryland who have been defined with a disability, have acquired the disability placard, and on that placard, it says permanent. Showing the subtle differences between jurisdictions, not something we can necessarily control. We do belong to the DMV. But very much it shows that if there are ways to make things more efficient, and maybe that comes down to getting to a little more administrative ways of doing things or identifying, and I don't want to be disability specific, that there's something we can do maybe to make things just a little easier for people to kind of move this process along. And that's all I have to say about that.
No, you have a great point. And again, I'm not going to disagree with your perspective, believe me. And I say the same thing to Ms. Sarah. No, we're not saying disability is conditional. We're saying the eligibility to use paratransit can be conditional. We just have not began to implement those conditions or enforce any conditions of such. Now, you mentioned the administrative recertification. Well, that was my form of permanent eligibility without going to permanent eligibility, partly because, again, philosophically, I don't believe in that. When you come to an agency that's making that has made and is making the tremendous investments that it continues to do in accessibility. So we have the administrative research, and we have probably more than any other agency, the other eligibility that I embraced, I'm forgetting the term now, it'll come to me. But if we just look at the application, it's a form of administrative recertification, but it's for new applicants. We look at the application, we look at the disability, we look at the doctor's note. The number of vans, taxis, or otherwise that are coming down to a Metro building for the eligibility office has been dropped by probably three-fourths, if not more, since we've implemented a lot of these rules, these rule changes. So no, we haven't gone to permanent eligibility. Again, as I've always said, your advocacy, I respect it, and I will never try to stand in front of it. I don't believe philosophically permanent disability or permanent eligibility is a way to go if we're really encouraging equality. But again, you're an independent board with your own voice. I will not stand in your way. I will share my opinion once you make your advocacy. But between the administrative recertification and the eligibility that's being granted almost just by a review of the document, while we're not there with permanent eligibility, essentially you have permanent eligibility for a lot of our customers.
I absolutely understand where you're coming from, and coming from that other side of the fence, both sides do make sense. Maybe we're getting closer to that that goal that I think we here in the AAC have, I think. At least I believe we're all on the same page about that. And I'm hoping that perhaps the start to that may be a what we would call, my organization I belong to would call it, a resolution, which may lead to more of a discussion at a legislative level that that could lead to change. Paul, are you there? Okay.
All right. So, I was going to say, if there are no more Debbie, after the last committee member, I'm going to start public comment, because I know I want to have Janice Samuel start as a member of the public, because I know she wants to comment on this topic. So I'm going to make her first after the last committee member has spoken and Anugia's her spiel.
Thank you. I really appreciate, Mr. Blake, the perspective you bring to this whole thing. What I'm wondering is if it might make more sense ultimately to talk about conditions or disability types or that might not lend themselves at any given time to fixed route use versus those who could, given the technology, given the right training, travel training, and so forth. I certainly know in the population that I work with, and I know you and I have talked about this, there is a very small group of people who probably will never, you know, those on the autism spectrum, those with significant behavioral difficulties, who might never be able to tolerate the stimulation and numbers of people and closeness with which you have to sit and travel, who might never be able to tolerate fixed route transportation. And I just wonder if that subset might be a group who ultimately might be considered for a sort of permanent designation. Again, not based on the diagnosis per se, but perhaps based on the set of needs that they have that within the context of what exists within our regular public transportation is likely not to change.
And I hear you, and I respect that. The term I was looking for is presumptive eligibility. So between presumptive eligibility up front and administrative recertifications on the back end, essentially more than half at this point of our customers are basically granted permanent eligibility, but we still request that application. But to your point specifically, Ms. Davy, I think, again, where I come from is the eternal optimist of the future. I mean, pretty soon we're going to have our streets filled with cars with no drivers in them. I mean, there are so many things that we may not even envision today that would encompass what public transit is. And we're not talking about a century from now. I mean, technology is moving at such a breakneck speed. Again, I support the advocacy. I do hear the point. I think Metro Access, perhaps more than most agencies, other than those who do have a permanent eligibility designation, has taken significant steps. Again, while other agencies are looking at conditional eligibility and not, you know, permanent eligibility on the other end, we've resisted moving towards conditional eligibility. We're granting presumptive eligibility on the front end, and we're a significant number of our applications for recertification are being administratively recertified. I hear the philosophical desire of a permanent eligibility, and I would just say advocate. I would say advocate, and let's see where we go. But the world is changing. It's changing so fast, and who knows? Who knows where we may be in a couple of years? We're getting platform gates to the system soon, which eliminates a lot of risk for people with visual as well as intellectual disabilities. There'll be other things added to our system. I'm the eternal optimist of the future and the independence of people, as long as we remove barriers from them. And it just kind of goes against some of that for me, but it's not, I'm not going to fight you all on it, but it's something you're going to have to advocate for. And let's just see how it plays out.
And I let me say, I actually appreciate it and I agree with you, except for this tiny little population that unless there's a way to put them in soundproof booths or some way to minimize their neurosensitivities, I do think some of them, or those who have significant behavioral challenges, who simply are going to be difficult to manage. Other than that, and I appreciate the optimism.
Yes.
It really, honestly, most of it becomes the logistical and administrative headache that people are trying to avoid, I think.
I do understand. I think the biggest, the one thing I see, because again, you're not even having to come to our office anymore. I think the one piece that may still be an inconvenience, and I'm not downplaying it any, is the part of the doctor's note. And if there are ways we can, and I know our team is trying to look at certain things just from our own administrative burden that we're trying to reduce, if we can figure out ways to electronically transfer that type of information, where even the client doesn't have to even go to the doctor, but can make the phone call, just like getting a prescription refilled, and that information can be transmitted to us, there, that would be sort of the issue, the answer, if you will.
Yeah, that's true.
But believe me, on our end, we have really taken the part down. Hardly nobody has to come to our office anymore for Metro Access eligibility.
Right. And the complaints are that I can't reach my doctor doesn't fill it out right. Some of the doctors don't even know how to fill them out, which sort of gives us pause. So, yeah, I understand. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Now, we haven't heard from Ms. Samuel. I see her hand is up.
So, Anu, give your spiel, and then we're going to let Janice go.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to remind any members of the public, if you do want to make comments during this meeting, either send me a chat message or raise your hands. If you're on phone, you can press *9. That will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you are on the video conference, you can click on the hand raise icon, and that will raise and lower your virtual hands. Each member of the public will have 2 minutes to provide your comments. We are allowing this time frame to make sure that if we have multiple members of the public, everyone gets an opportunity to make their comments. And with that, Chair Summerford, we have two people, and then one comment in the chat. First will be Janice Samuel, followed by Pamela White. And when we get through these two, I will go ahead and read the comment in the chat.
Go ahead, Janice. The floor is yours.
Thank you. So, Mr. Blake, we truly appreciate your perspective. Real quick, regarding the physician's recertification, I've spoken to users where their physicians refuse to continually certify that their patient eligibility because they've done it so many times before. And then the patient / Metro Access user is in the position of having to shop around for a physician to take care of this administrative matter. But again, given your perspective, we appreciate that. But can you tell us, for those of us who want to continue to advocate for the elimination of the recertification process for those of us who are permanently disabled, what should be the steps for us to move forward with this advocacy? Because we know you are not the the final authority on this. So that's my question. Where should we take our advocacy to? What steps would you recommend we take?
I would recommend that the AAC make a motion make a motion and vote and determine if this is the will of the committee. If the answer is yes, I would have the AAC mention this in their upcoming report to the board and have it highlighted during the testimony before the board. And that's the start. At least it's then on the radar and you go from there. I don't say we, you go from there and let's see how the process plays out from that level.
Okay, so given that I believe the AAC is on recess till what, September anew?
No, we have one more meeting in July.
One more meeting in July. So can this be put on the agenda for the July meeting?
I would probably want to defer this out to the AAC since they would need to do it. But if we get some kind of motion to bring to the AAC. Oh, Pat!
Well, there we are, Paul.
I'm going to take a personal favor and take Pat so he can help answer Janice's question. And if he has a motion to help answer this, to put out to the AAC.
Hey, Paul, what I was going to suggest is you take a vote from Metro Access and then send it on to the AAC as a recommendation from Metro Access to AAC. And so then we will take it there.
So what motion do you have to put out?
Your motion would be to accept. How do we want to phrase it?
Because I'm going to do this very quickly and then get back to the customers here.
Okay. Yeah. No. This is still a customer point.
I know, but it's still.
But I would say that. Yeah, Paul. I would just make a recommendation, or Janice can make the recommendation. So it's sort of current what's going on right now. A recommendation to you that we don't need to that we have what?
I recommend that the Metro Access Subcommittee take action to eliminate the need of recertification for applications of permanently disabled users.
So you don't want to, so you're not going to just make it blindness then, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just make it blindness.
That's good, okay. Yeah. That's good, yeah. Janice. Paul, you want to accept that motion going forward?
We got a second. All right, we can call
Any discussion? Can we call the question quickly?
Chair Samford, I believe a member would have to.
Paul.
Yeah,
Paul.
I just did a recommendation.
Yeah,
so I guess
recommendation,
I can't
Paul.
Make the
so you need to make that motion for subcommittee.
So, all right, okay.
Paul,
so
no, you make it as a committee member. I just wanted to make sure we had it.
Oh,
that's
enough right.
From Janice, right? Okay, so you make.
I want to take Janice's motion and suggest it and make it into a motion.
Mm-hmm.
So do I get a second? Which I see was
second.
I second.
All right, all those in favor of that the now the recommendation
well,
that
hang
I
on,
made.
Paul.
Is,
Paul.
Yeah.
Discussion first.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion on the motion?
Let's vote on it.
Good discussion. Okay, Paul, go ahead.
All those in favor, please do so by say aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions.
Okay, now that goes forward now, Paul. That will go forward to the AAC, right?
Yep, for next month.
Right, exactly. Okay, good. Very good.
Thank you, Pat. All right.
Excellent, Paul.
A new next person.
Thank you all.
Are we counting hanging chads or anything like that? I'm sorry.
Only in Florida.
All right. A new who's next on the list?
Next is Pamela White. And then we
Pamela
have
White.
A message in the chat. And then Deborah Dunaway. So Pamela, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
I'm still. Oh, okay. I have my question. This is regarding the minivan that's a shared ride. Is there any way that can be managed? About a way that it can be managed of who's going to be on that van? Because you know I've been on there a couple of times and. I sat next to someone that's, I guess it's autistic, and they were kind of heavy, and then they was making noise, and then they was kind of touching me on the side. And is there any way, if it's going to be a shared ride, you can't put certain people with, certain people, you understand what I'm saying? I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
Okay.
So to answer your question, on a case like that, we need to go back and identify that individual customer because there are, even for customers with modest or severe intellectual disabilities, there are certain behaviors that we expect. And if the individual is not capable of those behaviors, we then reach out to their stakeholders for adjustments. But per the ADA, we cannot prioritize any trips based on purpose or customer. So in a case like what you're doing here is in a sense making a complaint against a fellow customer, not a harsh complaint, but you're making a complaint against a fellow customer. We will have to deal with that individual individually. We can't utilize that complaint to draw a broad stroke in terms of our scheduling and service planning. But if you want to talk to me offline or talk to Ms. Anderson, we can get information about the trip, look at the video, identify the customer you shared with, and we can address that individual and work with him or her and their stakeholders. But no, we can't have broad strokes, if you will, in terms of certain people and their disability and their ability or inability to share a ride.
Even on the mini, I mean, no, I don't want to file a complaint against anyone because they really don't know actually what they're doing because of their mm-hmm. disability. But I was just wondering, is there any kind of way that could be looked at? The location of where you're picking them up from and who you picking up after you pick them up. I mean, maybe yeah. they can be the trips can be managed a little better when y'all, put them together, it can be managed a little better or something. I don't know how that is.
I hear you loud and clear, Ms. White, but again, what we're talking about is now we're getting into, again, prioritizing trip purpose based on a customer, a destination, or the trip itself and where they're going or coming from. And the ADA is pretty strict on that. We are a public transit service. If you were on the bus or the train,
right,
you don't know who's going to get on, yeah, where they're coming from, and they're going to be sitting right up on you. Now, they shouldn't be touching you, but this person shouldn't be touching you either, just right, because they're, you know. So, again, we work, or at least my approach has always been, treat each customer individually, yeah, work to that customer so that he or she, to the extent that we can, help them utilize this public service in the best way possible.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you know, I was just trying to, before something happened, you know, try to alleviate, try to, you know, before something happened to someone sitting next to someone that really doesn't know, actually realize they are doing something wrong, maybe you could all, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Well, and the best way for us to do that is not, again, to, you know, I'm not trying to pit people against you, but Ms. Debbie works with the Chai. I can't just go and throw a broad blanket over all Chai customers and try to segregate them on certain vehicles. What I would do, the best way for me to help in this situation, is identify the individual and work with their stakeholders, because the stakeholders probably can help them. They may not even know that this person touched you. I'm sure they know. You didn't say anything.
I did.
Right. So if I can, if we go back, work with their stakeholders, let them know what transpired, they then can probably help the individual understand not to do certain things. Mm-hmm. But they don't know what not to do if nobody ever says, don't do this, and they won't say don't do this if they don't know they did. Mm. That sounds like I'm rapping or something. But no, but you get my point, though, I hope.
Yeah, I do. I get the point.
You have to work with the individuals.
Okay.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
I'm just bringing it out there.
This is not snitching or anything. I mean, this is how we as a community help our fellow travelers, by working with those who can help them better understand what is allowed and what is not when they're using that van or that car.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Please hear next person anew.
Next, I'm going to read the message from chat. There is a person on Android phone, and they're writing, are cabs available for Maryland residents, like DC residents? And their next comment is eligibility requirements for color copy of ID.
Okay, so first question, if you're comparing it to the Transport DC program, I know Montgomery County has a taxi program, but I don't know all the specifics because it's not directly tied to anything my office provides them. And I believe Prince George's County has a form of program, but again, it's not directly tied to anything we do directly from Metro Access, the way Transport DC is explicitly tied to your Metro Access customer ID number. So the answer is yes and maybe. Excuse me. Is maybe and maybe not, I would say. So you just have to call whichever county you live in. I would reach out to that county's public transportation or public works department, and they can go through all of their various transportation programs. And if you need a copy of your ID, well, you're already eligible. You just give us a call, and we can facilitate getting you a copy of that ID. If you call tomorrow, I'll try to get it out in the mail when I send Vanessa her copy.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake. And next person is Deborah. Deborah, if you would unmute yourself and go ahead and make your comment.
Thank you. The question I had is, because I use different transportation apps, And I saw one that was put out by TransDev. I was kind of just messing around with it. And on some level, I mean, this is a bit outside the box, I recognize that. But on some levels, it was good because it would tell me when I had, and it was my trans, it was like my TM. Anyhow, just so I can tell you what it was. But yeah. But what I found was that it would tell me when I had an Uber, which was nice because a lot of times I'm not getting any of the links sent to me at all. And then I'm dealing with a no-show for a situation where I was not sent a link and I was kind of wondering what was going on. And then I forgot all about it because nothing was ever sent my way, to find out later that they put the first ride on an Uber and the second ride like at 12:30 at night on a minivan, which I had already said I can't use. But anyhow, all I'm saying is it seems like the app might be useful for some things. And then in the case of that, it kept telling me when somebody was coming within 10 minutes, but they weren't coming within 10 minutes. I kind of had to pick and choose how I was going to use this. And I just wanted to know if they're considering doing something with apps to keep better track of rides, or I don't know how else to ask that question.
No, it's a great question. I hear you clearly. I think the question you're asking is, what is Metro Access doing to bring forward information at the palm of the customer's hands, if you will, in a form of a mobile app or even a computer-based app? And we've tried a few. Now, a lot of these have been based on who the contractor is in our call center. So you're talking now about the TransDev app because they happen to be our contractor now. Previously, we had a Find My Ride app through MV. I think what we're going to be doing, while we continue to work with the TransDev app, at some point we're probably going to move the app desires to being tied to the software of the Metro Access system, not necessarily the contractor operating in the OCC, in the Where's My Ride. So the TransDev app, as you talked, the My Transit app, is our app for now, and we'll continue to work with TransDev to make improvements to it. But I can assure you it's not the last app that will be offered to Metro Access customers.
Yeah, no, I figured as much. It's just that it's frustrating when it tells me something's coming in 10 minutes and nothing's coming. And not only that, I'm still dealing with the problem of calling up dispatch telling me they're sending me the Uber link and then I don't get it anyways. And I may call three times. I don't understand why I have that problem with the first rung of service. But if I wait and ask for a supervisor, I don't have that problem. And it does get sent to me. I know it's a little bit of the ghost in the machine question, but I still have to mention it because it creates no shows for me. It probably does it for other people too.
No, I understand. You know, we've talked about it and I've tried to blame your phone and other things because I've sent it to you myself. We'll continue to work with you. It's not the normal way, again, because we went to the text base to ensure accessibility. Mm-hmm. However, I've been testing it after, I forgot who brought it up, but one of the advocates here brought up the use of the Uber app if you have a Uber account. And so I've done a few mystery rides using my personal Uber account phone number, and it is a pretty positive experience for me. Now, I won't say it's for everybody because, again, it's about accessibility, which is why I like the text approach. However, if you happen to have an Uber account And if you happen to have the Uber app and you can use it effectively, I think we would want to test that if you're in that position, because that might be a way to avoid the whole receiving of the link situation, because it would actually go directly to your account and right. you could treat it like a regular Uber trip.
Well, the only thing I want to point out about that is I may have figured out one catch of how to fix that, only in that for whatever reason, and I do have an iPhone 15, the when they do updates and stuff, I have found sometimes I do have to power down my phone, take out the Uber app, and put it on. Because, like, they never have an update for this thing. But it's like when I'm sitting there doing that, then I am getting the messages. I've discovered that after the last 90 days, some updates and this and that. It seems to maybe fix the problem. But really the issue is that I'm sending to the where's my ride text, didn't get an Uber link, didn't get anything, and I'm dealing with no reply at all sometimes. So, I mean, I'm just letting you know those are some of the tricks I figured out. Oh. But
we do need to go on to other customers.
I'm saying go on.
Yeah, we have only 15 minutes and I have to reach as many customers as possible.
Understood.
Thank you. Anu?
Thank you. Next will be Yvonne Kaufman. If you will unmute yourself.
Good afternoon. I am a client and I had the opportunity to use a new van about a month ago. As a matter of fact, it was the week after this committee meeting. The problem that I had with it is I had a large power wheelchair, and the way this wheelchair is designed, I cannot use the ramp. The ramp slope is too high for the use of this wheelchair. The reason being, it has a foot rail, and the iron foot rail digs into the middle part of the ramp. So I can't use it at all. I need to get my profile changed so that the profile, and whenever I book my trips, that I use a Lyft van only. And I almost had an argument with a dispatcher the other day who told me that my profile did not show Lyft van only. I beg to differ. It shows Lyft van only. And for any future trips that I have to use a Lyft van. I cannot use the new vans, and just in case, you know, I get other trips coming forward, they decide to send me a new van, I can't use it, which delays my trip even more. Can something be done about that so that the profile is changed, that the dispatcher knows not to send a new van? Not only that, this past week, they sent a is it Transdeb or something? It was an SUV with a wheelchair access. I cannot use wheelchair access vehicles because this chair is too large. What happened was they changed the mode of transportation. In other words, the guy calls me up while I am in church, calls me and tells me, well, I'm here. Who are you? I don't know who you are. He calls me on a cell phone. I don't know who it is, who it was. My trip was scheduled for 12:30. And I don't know, he calls again. He says, well, I'm here. My PCA goes out to check to see the vehicle. And he says he's in an SUV with a wheelchair ramp. And he, you know, I had to call and get a dispatcher to change it. And that's where this disagreement between the dispatcher and myself came up, that my profile shows.
the customers.
Well, I know you need to move on, but the service needs to be better.
So let me just say, Ms. Yvonne, I think I did receive your message, and the eligibility office has updated your profile, but I need to add this to it. And you're not the only customer, and we're going to be working with you and others. The wheelchair lift vehicles will probably be out of service by the end of this year. So for customers who, and I understand we've become accustomed to the lift, we're going to have to work with the customers, and customers are going to have to be open to utilizing the ramp vehicles. Ramps are what everyone is using.
Use it.
Okay, we're going to work with you, Miss Yvonne, but I'm going to need you to be open.
I'm not buying a new chair. I'm not. Look,
you're not saying buy a new chair, but we're going to.
Well, no, I can't use it.
Okay,
Miss Yvonne. If you can't use the chair, you can't use the vehicle.
All I'm saying to you, Ms. Yvonne, is that we're going out to several customers to do travel training and adjustments because there will be no more lift vehicles by the end of this calendar year.
And you're going to lose customers because this is not a wheelchair that's not used. This kind is used quite. Medicare purchases them for customers, for clients and patients. So
I totally get it.
It's the problem is the equipment.
We need to move on. Thank you.
We'll be in touch, Ms. Yvonne.
Thank you.
You gotta do better than this.
All right. Thank you. Anu?
Okay. So now we have two AAC members versus Patrick, and second one is Sarah Rod.
All right. Patrick, since you get to rarely speak, go ahead first. Patrick, did you want to speak? All right.
Hey, Paul, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I meant to lower my hand. Thanks, Paul.
Not a problem. Okay, Sarah, you go next.
I'd actually lowered my hand too, but that's okay. I'll go ahead and ask my question anyway. It's about eligibility. Totally different set of topics. I was approached recently by some students that will be at colleges in D.C., but they don't live otherwise in the Metro Access area. How do they go ahead? I mean, I assume they're still eligible for Metro Access if they qualify in terms of disabilities, and just do they just use their college address? How does that work?
Yes, they use their, well, they don't have to use their college address. They can use their home address. They just have to submit an application. We'll review the application, and even if their home address is Miami, Florida, I just say Miami, that's where I'm from, that's where their profile address would be. But when they're here in town, if their home address is 600 Fifth Street, that's where we would pick them up from and transport them to anywhere else in the Metro Access service area.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes.
I see Vanessa's hand is up anew.
Before we go to Vanessa, Chair Samuelford, I just want to read one chat message.
Audio now unmuted.
All right, hold on, Vanessa.
Just a moment. The person who is from, who's using Android phone wrote further clarification that a new requirement for renewing eligibility is a copy of your state-issued ID. So just wanted to state that for the record. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Audio now.
This question is for Mr. Blake. You mentioned that our personal Uber can be connected to the Metro Access. Does that mean when Uber offers discounts, will those trips be counted as part of our personal Uber? Because I'm getting offers from Uber for, you know, discounted trips. Do they count the ones that we get from Metro Access?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. That's a very good question. I have to find that out. But just keep in mind, if you take a quote unquote discounted trip, that's a trip you're paying for. You would book that trip. But when I say you can link it or what have you, I'm just saying if you use with Metro Access the phone number, that is connected to the Uber app, you actually can see the trips in the Uber app and request it.
So,
from
like, for instance, for one who uses it, Vanessa, it automatically populates, because I was the one, at least 5 years ago, I brought this to Mr. Blake when I said, oh, the trips you send me in the link, it automatically, it'll open up my Uber app, and boom, right, I can see the trip happening.
Yes.
And use that platform.
Right. I can see it through also through the other website. What is it? Safari. So I can do Safari or open up my Uber app and look at them. But I was just saying, because they keep sending me discounts on my Uber trips, and I was like, can I use those? Can those count?
So you can use the discounts, but you would be paying for those, because that would be a regular personal trip you book.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But they count all the Uber trips that I take. They
probably do.
Okay.
I'll find out. I don't know. I'll find out. But if you don't want them, we'll take them back at Metro. We'll.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have anyone else to speak before you say your speech?
Timer has ended.
Okay. Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. I do not see any additional hands up at this point. So I just want to remind any members of the public, if you'd like to send your comments before or after the meeting, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100, and we will follow up. That concludes my announcement. Thank you.
All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All right. All in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right. I gave y'all 4 minutes back. We are adjourned.
Great meeting, everybody, and a wonderful philosophical conversation. We love it.